Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to have a very, very senior corporate professional from the Tata Group, Mr. Rajendra Bhinge, with me. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Ashutosh. Delighted to be on the show.
Pleasure. Mr. Bhinge is from IIT Bombay. He is from IIM Ahmedabad. He spent over four decades with the Tata Group. He's currently the chairman of Croma, which is Infinity Retail, and is also the chairman of Nelco. And he also is on the boards of several organizations. So, Raju, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or career?
The first major milestone in my life, career, was when I left home at the age of 12 to join a boarding school. It happened to be Mayo College at Ajmer. I was in Mumbai. So it was a big difference. The curriculum was different. The people were different. I was one of the last persons in that batch to join the school. Everyone was there from before. So I had to start from a zero base. And I was literally like being in the deep end of a pool. So initially I was quite lost there. It was an ISC curriculum. This was SSC. So totally different. And it took me about a year to figure out my way through that new system. And I realized that compared to all the subjects that were there, what really mattered at the end in the ISC exam were the best five subjects. So I said, which are my best five subjects? Let me focus on them. The second thing I realized is that it's not just enough to focus. You must do really well. Excel in it. Be the best. And to do that, you had to put in that much more effort, which in a boarding school curriculum or the daily routine, it meant finding time which was not available. Otherwise, everything was regimented. You wake up at this time, sleep at this time, lunch, you know, prep time and so forth. So you had to find extra time to be the best. So these are the three things I figured. It took me a year to figure it out. In today's context, you would call it focus, aiming to be the best, and time management. Fantastic. I didn't know those words, but I figured it out at the age of 13. And that took me, I found that was working well the ninth. By the time the year end, the school leaving exam came, I'd never been first in class because of all those extra subjects. But school leaving, I was number one.
Wow.
I was in the top 10 in India. I had 6 points on five subjects.
Wow.
And that set the stage for the next exam, which was the IIT entrance. At 6 months to prepare, the same basic regimen, let's say, the same approach to work. And I knew I'd do well, but to my astonishment, I was first All India entrance exam.
Wow.
What we today call the JEE. That took me to IIT Mumbai. There again, I realized that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, so one has to maintain a steady tempo right through, which I did. And I was first or second every term, every year, completed IIT, went to IIM Ahmedabad, and the same tempo there, I was in the high score top four. I took whatever subjects that made sense. And that's the way it went, which brought me to my second milestone, which was campus placement. And I was selected by the Tata Group to join the TAS, the Tata Administrative Service. And within a year of joining, while doing all the you know, different stints in different companies, I happened to come to Nelco, where I met Ratan Tata, who had just come back from the USA. He was given charge of Nelco, which was a struggling company. He invited me to join Nelco. And since electrical and electronics was part of my former education, I was happy to do so. So I spent almost 12 years in Nelco because Nelco was a struggling company and it had to compete with the likes of Philips and Bush Baron. That was it. At that time, it was in radio and electronics. That was the full form of Nelco. And it was a tough time. I was initially in finance. I became financial controller. Then I was asked to start a new operating division for office products, which had to come up to a certain stage. And then in 89, having got all this operating experience, it was time to move on. And by that time, Ratan Tata had become chairman of Tata Industries Limited.
Okay.
So we needed someone there to look at new projects and new ventures. Mm. And I moved to Tata Industries, which is the third milestone in my career.
Right.
Nelco and then Tata Industries.
Right.
So I joined there in charge of corporate planning and new businesses. I was involved in a number of new ventures with companies like AT&T and Johnson Control and Bell Canada for cellular and so forth. And then in time he said, look, there's a lot of liberalization coming. There's a lot of change required in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to start a consulting firm, a strategy consulting firm, which was what was called Tata Strategic Management Group.
Okay.
I'd never done consulting before, mm-hmm. but I was given a task and I went after it. There were just three of us initially.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing was such that the Narasimha Rao reforms were just beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And companies had to suddenly wake up and cope
mm-hmm.
with competition, with foreign companies coming in, and a completely new ball game.
Mm-hmm.
And the role of TSMG was to work with companies within the Tata Group and outside,
mm-hmm.
help them navigate through these choppy waters. So in the bargain, I ended up working one way or the other with almost all the Tata Group companies.
Mm.
I was interacting with all the CEOs and in almost all cases working on their revised business plans in terms of what they should focus on, what they should exit, what they should build, where they should put more investments.
Mm.
And that was a very exciting period for the group as a whole. Many other groups, as you know, did not fully survive or cope.
Mm.
But the Tata Group, as you know, went through that period and came up at the top in almost every field they were in. That was one of the objectives that came out from the corporate center,
mm.
where I was very closely involved. That you must be in the top two or three in every field, or why are you there?
Mm.
And what do you need to make it happen? What should you drop? What should you do? So that was that whole period.
Fantastic.
In the bargain, we had some major cases, like for example, Tata Oil Mills,
mm.
where I had to make this presentation to the board. J.R.D. Tata was still the chairman and I had to explain to him that, look, this company is losing so much every month. And either you put in that much more money and compete with the levers or find a buyer and do something else. So finally, you know what happened in Tomco. Finally, levers took it over. Similar thing we did with Lakme. Lakme had a 54% market share those days.
True, true.
But with liberalization, again, they had the same choice. Do you compete with the multinationals or do you cash out?
Okay.
They cashed out. They started retailing. Mm. We worked with that also. West Side happened and so forth.
Mm.
Also had a stint with Nelco, my earlier company, in terms of some of their activities and so forth.
Right.
And as that went on, I was asked to join the board of Tata Industries Limited as ED. Then a number of other board positions, including Croma, including Nelco, including several others.
Thank
so God. These are the three main milestones.
Fascinating. Yes. Absolutely fascinating. What an incredible journey and always, right at the top. So let's talk a little bit, when I was talking to you before this conversation, we were debating whether to speak Nelco or Croma. And I said, Croma retail is something that probably is got such a large reach that I said, today's conversation will focus on Croma retail. And as a chairman, my first question is that why and how did the Tata Group venture into an unorganized electronics retail space?
In the early 90s, Tata had already got into retailing thanks to Westside.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Titan, Tanishq happened. So there was a retailing presence already. And in one of our annual conferences where we spelt out or the chairman spelt out the priorities going forward or the opportunities going forward,
mm-hmm.
retailing was very much there. So we were looking at opportunities in retailing.
Okay.
And as circumstances had it, the CEO of Woolworths of Australia,
mm-hmm.
Which had a major presence in electronics and consumer durables retailing,
mm-hmm.
happened to befriend Ratan Tata.
Okay.
And they got talking and they said, why don't we bring electronics retailing into India?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how Croma as a venture started.
Mm-hmm.
As part of TSMG, I and my team had to work on the business plan, on getting all the, you know, corporate approvals, making sure it was compliant with the FDI laws and so forth. So Woolworth ended up being the wholesaler and we ended up being the retailer 100% in each and so forth. So we found the right methods. Mm-hmm. And that's how Croma came to be. That's how it was launched and, you know, where it is today.
Absolutely. So, you know, as you look ahead, what have been the major phases of growth of Croma and how are e-commerce platforms impacting traditional retailers?
See, the first phase when we started out was to just get the business going, get the first few stores happening. Mm-hmm. So the first store was at Juhu. We were all there for the launch. It was a new experience for customers. They loved it. They could touch, feel, and have a great time at the store.
Right.
And the initial phase was to occupy this space because largely it was an unorganized space. This was the first organized sector, you know, major retailer coming in. And we focused on expanding the network and getting economies of scale. So by 2013 or so, we had 100 stores in place and we were hoping to become profitable in the following year when the next phase started, which was the advent of Flipkart and Amazon, just around that 13-14 period. 2013, as luck would have it, was also the time I was appointed chairman of Croma. Mm-hmm. So, as chairman, I had to see the storm coming and see Croma, you know, getting affected by that storm. Mm-hmm. And frankly, Croma wasn't prepared to face that kind of onslaught.
Right.
And in the immediate next year, instead of making a profit, the company's finances went down. We ended up making a 200 crore loss. And we realized that, you know, we had to find a way out of this situation. Mm-hmm. As part of the new board, we had to look at it almost every month and see what needed to be done on two fronts. One is that we had made a 200 crore loss, so you stop losing money. Mm-hmm. And second is what you do about the online presence.
Right.
So we focused on profit rather than growth, which was the first phase. So the second phase was focus on profit. Look at the pricing, look at the merchandise, look at the store profitability. We found one third of the stores were not profitable. So they had to be phased out. It took 3 years to phase them out, bring in new stores. So the store count remained 100, but the plan called for a return to profitability within 2 years. It also required a new management team because the culturally it's very different from growth going to watching every paisa and every basis point of margins. And that's what this team did. We turned around from a loss of 200 crores to a profit by FY18. Mm. In the meantime, we realized the importance of online. We realized that customers were searching online before coming to the store. Mm. So we had to have an online presence. We decided to have an omni-channel approach so that people had a choice of searching and coming. And that was the phase up to FY18 when we made a profit.
Okay.
That's where the third phase started, where suddenly our promoters said that now that you are profitable, why aren't you growing faster? Mm. It was very different.
Classical.
And we had to then relook at it. And the promoter said, look, you must occupy the space, the whole country. You must do what's right for that entire market. Mm. And if you have to do more and you need more funding, you ask for it and we'll make it happen. Mm. So it was a completely different challenge, good challenge to have, of course. Mm. And we went after that in two phases, meaning in two parts. One is in terms of physical presence, what kind of national presence we need. Now we're talking tier 2, tier 3, tier 4 cities. And what should the whole network look like in, say, 5 years' time? Mm-hmm. The other is online, how do we do much better, so much that we become like the Best Buy, the way they did in USA.
Correct.
They also got a shock by Amazon. They almost went under, but then they hooked themselves. And today, if you do a search, Best Buy comes ahead of Amazon in all electronics items. Mm. So that is the inspiration. Mm. That's what we're working towards. Mm. And as far as online is concerned, we have embarked on a 5-year digital initiative with TCS with this very objective. Because TCS is the company which worked with Best Buy, with Home Depot, with Marks and Spencers. So many of the digital initiatives that worked there are available to us. And over the next 5 years, it is our ambition to be the Best Buy of India. Incredible. To be the number one when it comes to search, when it comes to a consumer looking for any consumer durable or electronic product. And our basic theme is think electronics, think Croma.
Fantastic.
Croma should be the first name that comes to any consumer's mind when she thinks of an electronic or a consumer durable product.
Fantastic. Well, you know, I was at a Croma store yesterday, so...
Good.
So, you know, you're probably reaching there. Whenever you think electronics, think Croma. So, you know, moving on, what went into building a successful brand for electronics in retail?
See, when we started out, you know, Croma was a new brand. So, we had no history or baggage or anything to think about. We decided early enough that like in the case of Titan or Tanishq, we will have an independent brand. No Tata name part of it, you know, unlike Tata Tea or Tata Coffee and so on, because then the brand is not. So we chose this name. How it happened is a story in itself, but let's not go into that. So having decided Croma is the brand, we thought of what attributes it should have. So firstly, it had to have a very different consumer experience, which is the store experience in terms of lighting, in terms of the display, in terms of the ability to touch and feel and try a mobile phone, which so far in India, nobody could touch it. You know, there was a cord we had by which it was actually there.
Yeah.
So we did all that. That is the consumer experience. The second thing we said is that since the products are available everywhere, we must do one step beyond making it available. And there we thought of helping you buy. So, we help you buy became the tagline that given this choice, we will help you decide what is best for you. And between these two, the consumer experience and of course the basic Tata values of fairness and trust and quality, we added this bit of we help you buy. You might have seen this tagline in many of the advertisements. So, that's how the Croma brand was launched and I must say it did pretty well over the years.
Fantastic. So let me move to another section of our conversation. And I want to ask you a question that you have stayed, unlike a lot of senior executives, with one group from the time you finished your business school. My question to you is, what is the advantage of staying with one business group versus jumping every few years, which seems to be the trend with the younger people today?
See, a lot depends on what you are looking for and whether you get it in the company you are in. Now, in the Tata Group where I joined, I wasn't in any one company. My role changed, my positions changed, and I ended up working with almost the entire group. Now, that kind of canvas is a very attractive thing. Otherwise, you know, you are in one division, product, business. And after a while, you get a little tired of it. And that causes people to move from one company to another.
Correct.
So in the big mega corps, whether it be GE or whether it be Tata Group or even in Levers, those who are able to meet their aspirations, they stay. They become lifers, as they call them. But others who don't see the same thing, they move on. So I won't generalize the question of what comes your way and whether it meets your requirements or it doesn't.
Wonderful. And as you look back, you know, having run so many businesses, continuing to lead so many businesses, what would you say is your leadership style?
My leadership style evolved over the years. Initially, I wasn't so conscious of these things. I may have been a little more direct and brusque. But running TSMG was a very different experience. It was a consulting firm. There were people who had domain knowledge in different industries. They knew more than I did. So, I had to be far more collaborative, participative, and involve them in all decisions. Because they knew more than you. And hence, today it's a more a consultative style, a style of creating consensus, getting people together, and stepping in only if there is, you know, there is a need to break a deadlock. So barring deadlocks, it's best to have a consensus-driven decision making. That has been the style that has evolved, and that's what I'm doing these days.
Very interesting. The next question that I have is that, you know, you are involved with an organization called Sarottam Retail, where you're there as an investor and the chairman. What is Sarottam Retail?
Sarottam has been started by an ex-colleague in the Tata Group. Mm-hmm. We had this person who was in Tata Steel. Then he moved to TMTC. He was running Tata BlueScope. And the moment GST was announced, it was his dream to put up a steel retailing venture.
I see. Okay.
So once GST happened, here's a person who was known to us. He said, I'm starting this venture. He created the business plan. Once it was ready, came and shared it with me. And I advised him to start the first pilot store just to test out the assumptions of that business. Once he did that and he was ready to raise funds, I was one of the, you know, first in the first bunch of investors who invested. Okay. And many of the initial investors are from the Tata Steel fraternity, starting from J.J. Irani, Muthuraman, Anil Sardana, various people who have known this person. His name is Chetan Tolia. And we know that he's an ethical person. He's promised us that whatever he does, he'll be consistent and compliant, which is very important. So not only did we invest in him, he invited me to join the board, which I did. And he said, look, you're used to corporate governance, so why don't you chair it? So here I'm chairing a board where the CEO holds 90% of the shares. So I'm really there as at his invitation.
Okay.
But again, I've evolved. I mean, I'm used to now a consultative style of working, and it has worked well so far.
Very nice. So time for now, two more questions for you. And these are questions that I say they're for you personally. Given the challenges everyone is faced with because of the pandemic, how are you rethinking your life in the new world order?
See, I'm seeing my role changing over the years. In 2017, I retired from full-time executive employment. So I'm in these board positions, which are non-executive positions. I'm also now working at the community level and at the social level. By community, I mean I'm staying in a complex of 545 floor buildings, totally 375 flats. There are five societies. So I'm on the managing committee of my society, my building. I'm the chairman of that committee. And for the common area, gym, swimming pool, there is a federation where again I'm on that managing committee. I'm a secretary there. So at the community level, and this is a community, 75 members. Whatever can be done to improve their lives and so on, we are doing. We had a COVID committee where again I was a member, in terms of what should we do about the lockdown process and how should we unlock gradually, given the balancing of fears and risks and the need to go out. And there are different people in different stages of this thinking. So spent a lot of time on that as well. And going forward, I'm a member of the Rotary Club. So maybe that might take up more of my time over as we go along in terms of social service and giving back to the to society.
Wonderful. And my last question to you now, Raju, which is that there'll be thousands of people who will hear and watch your conversation with me. A lot of them will be aspiring young managers. What would your advice be to a young individual starting off on their life in the corporate world?
See, apart from the basics of what to look for in a career, basics in terms of try to do what you are good at or what you like and do the best and try to excel in what you do. The other thing I'd like to say to them is that there are a whole lot of disruptions happening across society, across businesses, whether it be climate change related changes, whether it be renewable energy, whether it be this whole digitalization of everything. And it's important to recognize which are the driving forces of disruption and which are the areas which are vulnerable. So it's very important that you be on the driver's seat, on the you be on the side that is driving disruption. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you risk getting run over by the disruption. So please think carefully before you start your career or decide where to work or what kind of company to join. So this is an extra thing which is extremely important, particularly in today's situation.
Perfect. Raju, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you lots of success, lots of good health, and whatever you're doing, I'm sure you will continue to excel in. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you to you as well. Pleasure being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.